Thank you so much for listening to the latest episode of A-Sides. I'm Andy. This is episode 154, and I spoke with Bob Tiemann, who grew up right here in Central Illinois. It's a huge blast from the past for me, as he was in the band Revis, and now they have a reunion show scheduled here in Central Illinois, Bloomington at the Castle Theater on June the 1st. So we talked about Revis, his background here in Central Illinois, and just a whole bunch of silly stuff, so it was cool to finally meet and talk with Bob, and hopefully you enjoy this episode, and you'll even make it to one of the Revis shows in Illinois in June. Thank you.
Look, it's rock and roll!
And cue music.
I'm just going to start by saying when I saw that Revis had a show coming up at the Castle on June 1st, I was like super pumped because I don't know if you remember this. You might. It's going back to 2003, but I was an intern with 99X and they were promoting a show with you guys on the riverfront. And I wasn't able to go because I was 19 at the time. And the show was promoted by Budweiser, like Budweiser True Music. And so they wouldn't let me go to it because I was too young. And I was like, oh, dang it, I don't get to go to the show. So, yeah, like I never got to see you guys.
That sucks. Like you worked it, but you couldn't go. Oh, that's shitty.
I was a promotion intern.
Can we curse on this thing? I don't know. I'm sorry.
We can curse. Yeah. Like okay. I even went to like a grocery store, like a couple of them with Anna Kincaid. And I think it was a free show. So we were giving out free tickets and it might have been like, like 99 tickets or something at this like Cub Foods or something. So first come, first serve. And so we were even giving out free tickets to people like promotionally, but yeah, I couldn't go. So
and you still couldn't go. Oh man.
Yeah.
Jeez. It's like,
yeah.
Like you put like a somebody who's starving, you know, like serving food to other people, you know?
Yeah.
That's a blast from the past, man.
Yeah. Cause I was trying to think of who the other band was too that played with you guys. It was like
Kilhanna was there. I know. I don't know if there was another band. I thought it was just us two. I got a flyer for it out in the garage because one of the promo spots was Cruisins, and they had like a big flyer for it, and it was on June 19th. And my mom saved it. My mom saves like everything. She's awesome about that. And June 19th is also my wife's birthday, and she was at that show. You know, we barely knew each other at the time, but somehow somebody saved it and we got a hold of one of them. And because it has June 19th on it, that's why it's up. But it doesn't list another band. It just has us up there. But I'm pretty sure Kilhanna was there.
And yeah, okay, that was the band.
Else. We were pretty tight with those guys back in the day.
Oh, cool. When communication is gone, the pieces down from the cloud you were on. Everyone is gone, let us slip away. Look at you, now you're at the end. Yeah, I saw that you guys even did like way back then, like because I was trying to look stuff up and it said in 03 you guys did like the Nintendo tour too with like Evanescence and stuff.
Yes, Cold, oh my gosh. I think. Yep, yeah. Cold too. That was so much fun, man. Yeah, it was a band called Cauterize, I think, was there too. Maybe Finger 11 was a part of it at some point, I feel like.
Yeah.
And dude, they gave us free swag, like free Nintendo stuff. We all got free GameCubes out of it.
Oh, damn.
At the time, that was like all the rage. I think we got free like Game Boy Advances. Oh, we were just in hog heaven,
Oh man, that's cool, dude. Like, was that a summer run for that tour?
Yeah. Oh man, my brain is so foggy from back in those days, because I mean, we went to Europe with Evanescence and Finger 11, but I can't remember if it was part of the Nintendo Fusion Tour or not. Something tells me that it wasn't.
Oh,
So
damn.
I don't know. I'm sure, like that info's out there somewhere, those tour dates. Yeah, the internet's got everything on it.
Or like Setlist FM, yeah. I'll have to
Yeah,
go to
yep.
that Setlist website, but yeah, it's got stuff archived. Maybe not the Setlist, but it's got tour dates and stuff.
Yeah, it's all out there. If you go looking deep enough, you'll find.
Well, how did it come about to do these shows this summer? Because I saw you're doing even Heron Festa in Heron, Illinois, like a few days before the Castle show.
The shows came about, I guess Heronfest has been courting guys in Revis, Justin and I think Robert. They were being courted by some people who were putting on Heronfest or something maybe. And I got a call from Robert in October asking if I wanted to come back and do Heronfest with them. And I was like, oh yeah, sure. At the time they said like, oh, like they've wanted us to come back and do it the year before that too, but they weren't quite ready. And so they were like, yeah, like we'll do it. We ended up getting those other shows too and the Louisville date too.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I'm excited for that. And then you guys even got some music that's dropping in the meantime too before then.
Yeah, they got what is it's an EP, Bottles of Lightning,
Are
that's
you a part
dropping
of
on.
that?
No, so those
Oh,
guys,
okay.
I've been out of the band since 2004, I guess. Been keeping in somewhat contact with them over the years, but they recorded that. They've probably been working on that for a little while now. I know they came out with two of the songs off the EP early last year on like streaming stuff, and yeah, and then there's four other songs, I think the total. Yeah, I think it's gonna be six songs total on the EP coming out streaming, and then we're also gonna be selling like CDs and like vinyl, I think, of it too
Oh,
at the
cool.
shows.
Yeah. I wasn't even aware of that. The music that came out, the two songs that you mentioned from last year, and then even that new music was coming until I saw on Facebook, I guess, the Bloomington date. And it just kind of like was a total flashback, like memory trip. And then I'm like, oh my God, Revis. So,
Oh, that's awesome, man. Yeah, we're pretty excited about
it seemed like, too, like you've still been pretty active, though. Here in Central Illinois, like, don't you have a band, Deep Space Radio, that you've done
it.
shows?
Yep. That one, I mean, there's been a whole slew of other groups, but that's been the most recent local one for sure.
I saw that you guys even had at least one performance at the Revival Music Hall, too.
Yeah, that might have been the last one that we did. Yeah, that gig kind of came out of the blue, man. We've been fishing around trying to get shows, and I think I just sent some, just some like just some cold, thing. You go on the website and see the contact and
Yeah.
reach out to them, and like within like a day, maybe even later on that day, like, hey, can you fill this date? It was within like a week. Like, yeah, sure, we can do it. And two other bands, though, they were like touring bands. The band Gnome, I think, was from Belgium.
Oh,
And
wow.
oh man, it took me back because like, whenever I was, whenever like, we were like touring back in the day with the guys in Revis, we used like in-ears, and didn't really have to like rely on stage sound a whole lot. And so like, and I'm spoiled because the other guys in Deep Space Radio like to use in-ears too. Those dudes in those other two bands, man, they were just loud, and they just cranked all the monitors, they cranked the amps. It sounded, I mean, if you didn't have earplugs, were hurting, but it sounded so good. It was just, man, that took me back. I was like, wow, close proximity to so many loud amps.
Had you been at that revival or even I think it was like what a stage two
Oh,
and back
dude,
in the
back
day,
in the
had you been in
day,
there?
Twilight Zone. That's
Yeah.
what I think that's what it was when like I was in high school and we were going there. Oh, I used to love that place, man. They would have whatever local bands. I think we saw like Taxi War Dance there. I think Mudvayne played there once. I don't know if I was at that show or not.
Oh, damn.
There was like the Mibs, bands like that were there. And but it was just such a cool hang and a bunch of other young kids, and you could smoke and look cool,
Yeah,
be away from your parents kind of a thing.
Yeah. I had never been in there until February. There was LA Guns was playing there in February, and that venue's awesome.
Oh, truly. It really
Yeah.
is, man. Yeah, I'm not sure how many people it can hold, but it looks like it could hold a good amount of people, at least probably 300 or 400 people, and
Yeah.
like those, it's got like those balconies around the stage. It's all wood. It's got multiple bars set up there, Yeah, they're doing something right.
Yeah.
It's a cool, it's definitely been a cool place for a long
Yeah,
time.
it's like a hidden gem here in
Yeah.
Peoria, 'cause I didn't know it existed. So
So you didn't go when it was like Twilight Zone or anything back in the day?
back in the day, I guess I wasn't totally that into, I was into rock music, whatever was on the radio and stuff, but I wasn't really hip to anything until, like I said, I started working for 99X and it kind of opened a whole new world and stuff.
Okay.
But by then, that was, like I said, 03. And I think that was right around the time when they stopped doing shows at the Madison, too. So I actually missed out on the Madison.
Oh yeah. Oh man, that was a cool place too.
Yeah.
The castle kind of reminds me of the Madison. Always wanted to play there. I've seen a lot of shows there, and
Yeah.
I know they got some kind of like a historical society kind of a deal. They're trying to get everything up and working again to kind of have
Yeah.
bands back in there. I wish
Yeah,
that that
they had
would.
a thing in the parking lot last fall, like a fundraiser for that too. And they had some bands and you could like pay to tour it and stuff.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that would be so amazing to have that back again,
Yeah.
But it seems like there's like, oh man, like Scottish Rite too is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
The riverfront is pretty awesome. There's some really, and the like we were talking about, the revival, the place is amazing. It's there's no shortage of awesome places to play and go see live music around here.
Yeah. Have you ever, it's a little off topic, I guess, but that barn theater, the Conklin Barn Theater out in like, I think it's Goodfield.
It's like a dinner theater place, right?
Yeah.
Kind of.
I went there like 2 years ago. And then last summer, a friend had like their wedding and then wedding reception there. And so it's basically like where I was going with this was I was in that before I was in the revival, but they're basically like almost identical buildings. So I don't know the
Really?
history of either, but it had to have been the same architect or something because they're basically both have those, like we said, the I
Balcony.
guess the tiered balconies and there's like three
Yeah.
levels and stuff. It's the same way in the.
Oh my gosh.
In
That's
that barn
interesting, man.
theater. Anything from the Madison stand out to you? Like, because you said you
Oh,
saw
like
some shows there.
show-wise?
Yeah.
Oh man. The most is probably Cold Chamber played there once, and don't know who they played there with. Maybe Seven Dust. And the power went out for like part of Cold Chamber's set.
Oh, damn.
And I just remember like, everything going, the lights went down, it went black for about 2 seconds, and the emergency lights came on the sides, but you could still
Yeah.
hear the drums, of course. And
Yeah.
they were just banging the shit out of the drums, and people were yelling and screaming, and oh man, I thought that was so cool.
Yeah.
I wasn't, I don't know what year I was in high school, like sophomore or senior, but yeah, and then being in the pit when, or like what would equate as, like the pit for like a high school kid, there's probably like 30 or 40 people down there just pushing each other around.
Yeah.
That was so much fun. Like Taxi was playing, Mudvayne was playing there, just trying to get into that, to that whole like thing, and it's such a cool thing. Like I wish that, see, I've got kids now and I'm all like thinking, like what are they going to do that's comparable to that? Like I got so much out of that whole experience and that whole scene.
Yeah.
I don't see anything like that, for kids that's, their parents just drop them off, and they're just essentially hanging out at a live music place that's got an open bar, or not, not open bar, but bar available to people, and you get to
Yeah.
see drunk people. You're in like high school, your parents aren't there to kind of negotiate that. You got to kind of do it for your own with your friends and stuff. And I feel like it's a really valuable experience for people to kind of do that,
Yeah.
especially like young people coming up.
Like the kids still go hang out at bowling alleys and stuff, like play the like laser bowling, because that would be the only thing I could think that would be comparable where kids might hang out, but I don't know.
Yeah, I could see that.
I don't know what kids do these days. Yeah. Hang out on their
Yeah.
phone.
Yeah. Yeah, technology, you know, it's everywhere.
Go, son. But they strap you around. Then just remember that I will always be there. When I say to your daddy loves you, understand I'm out in the real world.
So I guess going along with growing up and stuff, you grew up right here in Central Illinois. And so, yeah, we already said you saw cool stuff at the Madison. When did you first pick up a bass?
I think I was like 13 maybe, or 14, 8th grade maybe, or something, 7th or 8th grade. I played violin in like grade school horribly. I think just in like 5th and 6th grade maybe.
Yeah.
And it was just so hard to get like a decent note out of that thing, you know. And then a couple of buddies of mine were playing guitar, and they were like, "Hey man, we're going to start a band. You have to play bass." And I was like, "I don't know. I don't know if that's for me." And they were like, "Dude, like you will get a girlfriend. You will. This is how people get chicks." And I was like, "Oh, okay. I think I'll give it a shot." And then so I got it and started taking lessons. Like it was in Sunnyland. The guy that ran it, his name was Dale Pettigo. Have you heard of Dale? He's like a local legend, man. Mostly like jazz, blues, R&B guitar player. One of those cats that's like he's one of those cats that's like forgotten more about music than probably most of the guitarists you meet will ever know. He was running this store and doing lessons out of the back of it too. And me and my buddies were already, they already had it all lined up. It was like what do they call that? Like a turnkey operation. You know, they're like, "Okay, you just got to come in, tell them that you're interested, and they let you rent the bass, and then you're in the band with us." I was like, "Oh, cool." That's kind of how I got into it. And we would take group lessons too to try to like learn songs together. And it was definitely a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. But, you know, music's always been, I've always had like strong reaction to music, you know, ever since being like a little kid. And so, you know, as soon as I started like playing music, especially like on a bass, you know, not like a violin, like the violin didn't have the same connection, you know, bass, I had that kind of like, okay, I can see where this is going to go, you know, like where these notes are going to go, or, you know, something like that, you know, how this is going to feel. The bass for some reason just kind of spoke. It was like compared to the guitar, and I could be in like a band. I think I just liked, you know, like the whole aspect of being in a band at the time, you know, being a part of playing music out with people, the camaraderie, some kind of like power to it. I'm sure, you know, like scientists and anthropologists have studied that kind of stuff and can put all kinds of names to it, but there's just some kind of like a, you know, like music is just, and the creation of it, it's like real magic. It's there's just something that you can't quantify at all. There's something that science will never be able to kind of like wrap around and really explain. You know, it's just something that has to be kind of felt like a magic spell kind of a thing.
I like your description there too, even the camaraderie and then like the magic spell. Yeah, because it's like, at least for me, music is there. There's songs for like when you're happy or when you're sad or when you're angry, you know, there's like emotion attached to that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like there's a whole story in there, you know, like I'm playing after a while, you know, like it's there's like a whole world in that song, you know, and even in
Yeah.
like the notes that you're playing, the way that it fits, there's just so much to, you know, you would think, you know, even if you just had an instrument that just had one string and only one fret, and you only had, you know, you could only hit it with like one finger or one pick or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, with that, you know, it's like you have an infinite multitude of sounds that you can make from that, you know. Like I saw this video. Do you know who JoJo Mayer is? I think that's his name. He's a famous drummer.
Oh, no.
He's like a progressive drummer. I'm not sure what groups he's played with, but he's mostly been solo that I've been hip to him. He has this like TED talk, and it's about the distance between zero and one. And it kind of talks about that, how there's nothing, and where that definitive something is and where the nothing is in between there is infinity. It's, you know, stretching that line from zero to that to that something, you have all those infinite amount of hits. And he kind of demonstrated as he had just a snare or some kind of like a simple drum and a drumstick, and and he was just hitting it really simply. And then all of a sudden he starts getting to like, where he's hitting it a little bit more complex, and he's using different parts of the stick. And basically it keeps on going on in that direction where, every part of the stick, he's flipping the drum, trying to like demonstrate, that just because you don't have a whole lot of material or perceived ability to make sounds, it's all in your perception, I guess. Like it's all in the way that you kind of approach music.
I'm gonna have to look up that guy. He said like JoJo Mayer.
Jojo Mayer, yeah. Oh, dude, it's a really cool TED Talk. Right when I started to get hip, which was probably like 10 years after TED Talks actually came out. I seem to be like 10 to 20 or 15 years, and especially after having kids. Yeah, so like whenever that came out, I was like, oh my gosh. And then I posted on Facebook, like, where's this been? People were like, dude, this has been a thing for years and years and years. Where have I been?
Kind of the way I feel, I guess, with music is I kind of felt like I was behind. Like I said, like I didn't really, I guess I really didn't explore a lot till I started going to like ICC in 2002 and then 2003 working for the radio station. I felt like a late bloomer. I didn't even go to my first concert till 2003 either. So
Interesting. So like, what made you want to get into that into the first place?
after high school and then going to ICC, I wanted to get into like journalism because I wanted to be a movie critic or something. The lady that was like a counselor was like, maybe you should try like mass communication, radio and TV and all this stuff because it kind of encompassed all media. So that was the direction that I went in there. And then I really liked it. So I just kind of found like a radio internship and then I never looked back.
What happened after the internship?
Well, I did that for the first half or so of 2003, and then I just really wanted a job, so I started begging them, like because I was working a summer job at a swimming pool, and so I didn't have any other job, and I knew when like the summer ended, I was like, I'm gonna have to find another job then, because I was still going to school, and then I didn't know if I was gonna do the internship, and then I'd have to find like a job. And so I was begging, like, I guess Matt Behan. I was like, what do I got to do to work here? Because I don't want to find another job. So yeah, they
Right.
put me on weekends and stuff. I just
That's nice.
babysat the stations stuff. But yeah.
So then you actually got a legitimate job working there after
Part
that?
time. Yeah.
At
Like I've
part
always
time,
been
yeah.
part time in
Yeah,
radio.
still that's I mean, if you're getting paid doing that kind of stuff, that's a legitimate gig. Even if it is part time, I feel
Oh,
like.
yeah. Whether I'm a late bloomer or not, it was still like I still have memories of listening to like Rock 106 around here, and
Oh my gosh, yes.
so obviously you listen to Rock 106 too.
Oh, dude, yeah.
Yeah.
We like throughout my whole like childhood, grade school, junior high, high school, like I would sit like in my room after school, and pretend like I was doing my homework while my mom was making dinner or doing like whatever around the house, and she always had the radio going. And
Yeah.
it was, I mean, most of that time was probably Rock 106 or what was that one? KZ 93.3.
Yeah.
Back when Gary Olson was on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she was on a softball team with him, so she got to know him, and we got to get like like KZ 93.3 t-shirts when we
Oh,
were
cool.
kids. We thought that was like, oh my gosh, like that's so cool. And they used to play like all that 80s stuff, oh my gosh, that kind of music. That's like with some music, you can feel like there's something else kind of going through you, kind of takes you somewhere,
Yeah.
That 80s music, like the stuff that's just saturated in 80s-ness, that synthetic kind of feel, that's like a straight shot to my soul, just about like oh man, the first couple times I heard like any Lennox, Mike and the Mechanics, Genesis, Peter Gabriel. my mom was like big into those.
Yeah.
To this day, like my wife and I joke around because she's big into blues and she loves Eric Clapton, but she hates 80s Eric Clapton. And that's like my favorite Eric Clapton, like Bad Love, man. That's, oh, like that's my jam, you know, like that bad 80s stuff, you know, like the bad 80s Tom Petty, the bad 80s Bob Dylan, all those cats that,
yeah,
you know, went through the 80s. And, you know, I feel like if you made it, if you were around before the 80s and you made it afterwards, you weren't going nowhere, you know. Like you're there to stay.
Well, yeah, that's funny too, because yeah, because like, well, we're kind of comparable in age, but yeah, like my first introduction to some of those bands was like Heart was their 80s stuff, Rod Stewart and stuff, and then years later it's like I heard like the actual classic stuff from the 70s and it's like, whoa.
Yeah,
but yeah.
Big difference, man. I mean I appreciate the music from the 70s too, but I don't know, the 80s has always had a special spot in my heart, you know.
Yeah,
probably because that's what they just shoved down the throats of the DJs around here, and that's what they played a lot of, and even in like my own house, you know, like my folks played that a lot. They also played a lot of like Grateful Dead, a lot of the band, Jim Croce, maybe some Gordon Lightfoot. I'm not sure. They still have a pretty big vinyl collection of that stuff too.
Oh,
weird one-off comedy records too. Oh man, some of those are a riot.
Oh yeah, speaking of the 80s music, why aren't we at Journey right now?
Because we're poor.
Yeah, yeah, true, man. Those tickets were expensive.
Started, man. Like we went down to the Civic Center. I mean, I don't mean to like dog, you know, like anybody's trying to, you know, make a living off of music or whatever, but
oh yeah, yeah.
You go to like buy like a ticket, you know, and I think we actually got charged almost, I think one time I got charged more in person when I went, what was it? Charged less in person if you go down there to get it. You get charged more like online. And if you dig into those fees, they say like, oh well, these are like convenience fees, you know, for
yeah,
to buy online. It's like, well, but if I'm down there in person, don't you have to like pay someone to be here, like benefits, you know, a roof over their head? You would think like the expenses would weigh out more for the tickets being bought in person and they could justify that more. I don't know. And then there's also like day of show, you know, if they've got, it's happened before to me. I've had experiences where I'll go down there day of show. You go to buy a ticket, boom, it's like the third row or something, central. And you get it for like half price.
I can almost myth bust your stories there. Because I found that out, the box office thing. I found it out like 2016. I ended up getting Alice Cooper tickets. And I went to the box office, got them the day that they were on sale. Yeah. If you go to the box office, they were they only charge you face value. So if the ticket's $59.50, that's what you're going to get. But then the Ticketmaster online, they charged all those convenience fees and, you know, service fees and all that stuff. So then that's where it gets way overinflated. But then 2019 or 2020, like when the pandemic hit and everything shut down, they never had the box office anymore. And I don't think they even brought the box office hours back. So you really can't get tickets. Like, I think they might only have box office hours at the Civic Center on like Fridays for like 2 hours or the day of the show.
Yep. I think you're right, man. It's like only when it's open, when like the rest of it is open. They don't do any special thing for ticket sales anymore. It's only when there's like another event and people are already there. I gotta make a living somehow.
Yeah, and then the other thing you mentioned is like, I think you said you got good tickets like the day of the show. Is I think I found out that there's like some bands have like holds on certain tickets, like maybe they want to comp like friends or family or whoever, so they hold some seats, but then if they don't have anybody claiming those, then they release them back to the venue. So you might get better seats that day.
Oh,
but
for sure, man. That is a thing. Yeah. Just recently, tour manager that we had for Revis, dude named Brett Guns, he is a he's now a tour bus driver,
Oh,
and
wow.
he's in good with the guys from Avett Brothers. He kind of was living in the same area as those guys for a while before they got big, and so they came through here, what, like last year, maybe just a few months ago or earlier this past year. He was able to get my wife and I and he was able to get us four tickets from this will call. They're going to be, they were front row center, like second or third row. Go, amazing tickets. But there's, there were like a dozen spots open around us,
Yeah.
and it made me think, oh, you know what, next concert, I'm just going to pay whatever it is to get like the cheapest tickets possible. I'm just going to move up into the will call area and try to act like those are my seats.
Yeah. I've thought about doing that, waiting until the day of the show and getting them from the box office or something, but like I'm too anxious, or I don't know, something like I got to get tickets when they go on sale. I can't wait till the last minute because then I don't want my plan to backfire.
Right. Oh yeah, for sure, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I get it.
Yeah. Like, well, that's cool. You're still in contact with everybody from back then, I guess, in the Revis
Yeah,
days.
I mean,
Yeah,
like
the
to yeah,
band
to a
and
certain
crew.
degree here and there. Me and the singer Justin probably have been in the most contact just because he lives in Southern Illinois. We got the two guitar players, Robert. Robert lives in near Carmel, California, I think. And then Nathaniel lives in Burbank, California, and our drummer David lives in Austria. So we're kind of
Oh, wow.
displaced all of that way. So, just by default, me and Holman, Justin, the singer, 4.5, 5 hours south. He's got a slew of kids, and I got kids too, and stuff gets busy like that. But we saw each other a couple years ago. My family and I went down to Southern Illinois. They got all the Shawnee National Forest. They have all the
Yeah.
really cool, like wildlife and national park kind of stuff. We went by their house and got a chance to stop in and say hi, and that was good. Other than that, though, I haven't seen the two guitarists or the drummer face to face in 20 years. So this will be the first time in 20 years, and then also sharing the stage together as the original lineup.
Oh, wow. Are you guys going to get some time to like rehearse together before then?
Yeah,
Yeah.
we're supposed to get together a few days in advance.
It'd be like a cool reunion.
Yeah,
Oh,
oh yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, it's been so amazing getting back and, talking with those guys and messaging. We do this, the Google Meet, thing
Yeah.
every once in a while, and the interactions are really good. They've all been, really positive and focused, and it's just been a lot of fun. Just the camaraderie, like being around just other people who you're in a band with, a lot of stuff comes back, and in a really good way. Like that first note is just going to be a wild event.
I'll bury
Yeah.
So you guys all got together then when you guys were students down in Carbondale? Is that how it started?
So those guys already had a band. I was going to college at SIU at the time. I think a couple of them were going to Rend Lake College, maybe, which is pretty close by.
I have an old radio buddy that I worked with up here in Peoria, and like 10 years ago, he moved down to Marion, which is down by Carbondale and in that area. So I'd go visit him a lot from time to time down in Marion. So yeah, you passed right by like Rend Lake on what 57, I think, and then
Yeah. Oh yeah. You got it, man.
yeah.
Yeah, so those guys are all from Benton, which is a little bit further up 57 from Marion, like what you're saying. So those guys already had a band. It was called Orko at the time,
Yeah.
and they would perform in and around Carbondale mostly because of the college crowd. I'd been in bands in high school, and I wanted to get into a band down there too, but it was all like the what I call just the standard college jam band kind of a crowd, where it's just a lot of open jamming, and I can only take so much of it. It's not like my true kind of like nucleus of where
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to be, at least playing like music, and it's cool to party with, I guess. I don't know. But anyways, I would go see these guys live with my roommate Jeremy, and we'd be like talking. I was like, oh man, like I wish I could find a band like this. Like that's like the kind of sound I'm after. And their bass player at the time was this older looking guy. Like the rest of the guys in the band, these like late teens, early 20s. Real good looking dudes. And then there's this 40-year-old. Not saying that Dan is a bad looking dude, but he looked out of place, like he was, somebody's dad up there.
No.
Just did, and he was a great bass player and really awesome guy. He's the uncle of one of the guitarists, Robert. I talked to my roommate, and I'm like, man, like, if anything, like, I wonder what the deal is with that. If he's somebody's dad that's in the band or something. Like time goes on, and probably like towards the end of sophomore year that I was down there, my roommate Jeremy goes to some bar and he sees Justin, the singer, and got together. They start drinking, they start talking, become fast friends. And Jeremy, my roommate, eventually asked him, he looks kind of out of sorts with you guys. All your other guys are like young. Is he somebody's dad? What's the deal? He's like, oh, guitar player's uncle, but we're actually kind of like looking for a bass player now because we're looking to go to California. We got a contract with this management company out there. He's like, we haven't really started looking yet, but like we kind of let Dan go because he's got a music store and he's got a family. So we're kind of, we're gonna start looking for another bass player. And my roommate's like, dude, like my roommate would love to try out for you guys in audition. It's like he's your guy. So Justin was gonna drive in and listen to me play up in place off campus at the quads. He's gonna come up to like the room and hear me, kind of like an audition kind of a thing. Before that happened, Jeremy, my roommate, was like calling these girls, like, hey, Bob's gonna be auditioning for the band Orko. Justin, the singer's coming down. Will you bring like your friends and like, come down? He's like, I'm gonna get like a keg. We're gonna have like a party. So Holman walks in, and there's like 15 or 20, girls that we know, and they're all looking really hot, And he's just kind of like, oh, okay. It's kind of like an instant party. And so like he like went upstairs, I like jammed for him, and we talked a little bit, and he's like, man, let's go back downstairs. Like, you mind if I give the rest of the guys in the band a call to come down here, and I was like, yeah, sure, and the other guys came down. I think Robert and the drummer at the time, Marcus, came down. It was like the same deal. They came up and heard me for like 5 minutes, and like, yeah, man, you're in the band. Yeah, that's cool. You're in the band. And so that was it. That was from there on out. It was, like they were. We were talking about going out to California and talked to like my folks about it, and they were just super cool because I was tanking in school. I was on scholastic probation for like the third semester in a row or something. It just was not in the cards for me. I was not focused at all on kids. Like if they were in college and they're like, oh man, I'm not doing good in school, I want to go out to California with a band, I'd be like, hell no. But my folks were totally cool with it. All the parents were really cool with it, and they all supported us kind of going out there. And that's kind of how it got started.
Oh, awesome, man. The party, like audition kind of sounds like a National Lampoon movie or something. Like it sounds like crazier than maybe what you're describing it as, but yeah.
It definitely was.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, like it's a great story, but
Yeah.
that's. And then after we got out to California, we lived at a place, like it's at the time that you're doing how crazy it is that you're doing that,
Yeah.
like that you're doing something. You're just going through, you're in the truth or whatever, and you're just thinking, yeah, like this is just what we're doing. This is like normal, So like whenever we got out there, the guys in the band, and then we had like a roadie guy named Jason Revis, actually the namesake, who would become the namesake of the band. And we were living in a house, it was a 3-bedroom house. Two of the bedrooms were occupied by the actual tenants of the house, and they let us rent out one other room because somebody just wasn't there, for like a. So we did that for a few months while we were doing shows out there, trying to get recognized, but LA is just such a oversaturated market, And so we were doing the show thing, and eventually the landlord found out that there was a bunch of extra people living there. He got pissed, and we got kicked out, and we had to go to the only other place that we had to go was our rehearsal space around like East LA, like down near the Artist District, which after that we ended up getting a place at the Artist District. We actually signed for the lease on September 11th, when that happened, when like the terrorist attack happened, I remember like sitting up in, it was this loft, and man, I wish we would have had more pictures of it, because it was this old, like it was these old classic style lofts where it's just one big open space,
Wow.
and it was, I think, what time, and it was in the evening at some point. We were either in our place or we had like roof access, and we're just drinking, just staring at the LA skyline. At the time, our windows perfectly framed downtown LA, so it was just a gorgeous setup. And after that, we so that was the place. We were still doing more shows, then switched management, and then we started to get a lot of good attention, and then recorded some demos with Jeff Pilson, who was the bass player for Dokken, and a guy named Tommy Henriksen, who was like a solo artist from the East Coast, New York kind of way of talking. And those guys cut the demos. Getting assigned were those demos and our management at the time, John Zagata. And after we got signed, we moved to the Valley. We got a house in North Hills. Most of us did. I think Justin, our singer, was living in West Hollywood. I think he had an apartment with his girlfriend there. But we had a house there. And then from there, we took off and started touring. Sold the house. It was kind of like a whirlwind at the time. You're just thinking this is all totally normal. I remember thinking after we got signed, like, I was thinking like, God, like that took forever to get signed. It was like 6 months, or something. It was like some ridiculously short period of time, but like, oh, we played like, we probably played like a dozen shows in LA. I remember just thinking like, oh, it's just taking forever. And then we get, yeah, I think we all kind of felt similar, we're just a bunch of young dudes. I was 21. I think the oldest was our drummer, Marcus, and Robert was like 19, I think, or something. I think if you get, when that kind of stuff happens to somebody when they're that young, it's really hard to have a really strong appreciation for it at the time, which is actually kind of what, in the Google, meets and the interactions I've had that we've all had together. Kind of with coming back together recently, it's almost the opposite. Like we're like really appreciative for everybody's time and everybody getting together, and just so grateful for the opportunity that, holy shit, like we get to do this, like it's been 20 years, like who gets to do this? This is like one of the most amazing things that's happened to us as a group and as people too.
It's like you said, you're in it and you're not seeing the whole thing until you kind of are able, to step back. Now you can step back and see the whole, like, what is it? The bigger picture or something. I'm not really thinking of the word right or whatever.
Oh no, I got you.
But yeah, like I actually was looking up. It's funny you mentioned that Jeff Pilson and like Tommy Henriksen, because on the Wikipedia page for Revis, it mentions both of those guys, like we're working with your band, but then sometimes you don't know if Wikipedia is accurate or not. But
Right. Oh my gosh. Yeah, so I think I haven't checked our page for a while. 10 years ago, somebody shot me a link to, or they're like, "Hey man, have you seen the Revis Wiki?" I didn't know what the hell Wikipedia was at the time, and they're like, "Go look it up." And there's this somewhere in there, oh, this dude, I think his name was Matthew Wheat. I knew him from working at a music store over in Bloomington, talking about starting a Van Halen tribute band. And he put in there, because you could put anything in there. You don't necessarily have to fact check anything or have any, like, cite any resources or anything, sources. And he said, Bob Tiemann went on to perform in, and it was some like Bad Halen or something like a funny take on Van Halen cover band with Matt Wheat in Bloomington, Illinois. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, I did no such thing.
How did you get to work with those two specifically? Because it's kind of cool that Tommy does stuff now with like Alice Cooper, so I'm familiar with all of his work now.
John Zagat, our manager, he used to manage Tommy, I think.
Oh.
And he kind of whenever we first got with management, like I kind of wish that the rest of the guys were here too, because like, you know, like what one of us doesn't remember, the other ones might be able to fill in the
Yeah.
blanks a little bit, you know. And it was so long ago that there's a lot of blanks.
Yeah.
I think John had been mentioning to us since we got with their management company, like, you guys got to record with Tommy. You got to get in there with him. You got to let him produce, do something with you, you know. Jeff, they had their own production company. I think it was called Zuzu. As soon as we ditched, so the management company that we moved out there with, there was three people. John Zagata was one of them. And then eventually, like, we just weren't getting much traction with those guys. And so, like, a few months into it, we were like, you know what? We were actually thinking about coming back to Southern Illinois, because it did not seem like management was holding up their end of the bargain.
Yeah.
So we're getting kind of down, you know, whatever. John, one of the partners, was like, hey, I want to break off from these guys, do my own thing. He's like, but I need you guys to come with me. And he's like, I think pairing you up with is going to be the thing that gets us to the next level. So we're like, all right, yeah, cool. Well, you know, he already knew of Tommy, of course, and Jeff. And Tommy and Jeff actually lived pretty close to each other in the valley. Actually, the street in between them, or maybe one of the streets that they were on, was the street that they filmed Wayne's World, like the house that, you know, Wayne lived at
Oh.
in Aurora, Illinois, or whatever. That's actually
Yeah.
in Van Nuys, in the same neighborhood as Jeff Pilson and Tommy Hendrickson, because
Oh.
they were close enough to walk. They're only a couple streets apart, so we'd do most of the recording over at Jeff's place, and then we'd go over to Tommy's to hang out or whatever. And so in between, he'd be like, yeah, you guys, check it out, this is that street they filmed it, you know. And we'd walk down, it's, oh my God, it looks just like it. We believed it, and they definitely they got together some really good sounding demos. And they were so much fun to work with.
Like, so it was kind of like your manager wanted you to kind of work with somebody a little bit more seasoned, right?
Yeah.
It's kind
Yeah, I
of the
think
thing,
that's,
yeah, 'cause you guys weren't really
yeah.
familiar with like studios like that.
Yeah, no,
Yeah.
yeah, like, we
Yeah.
didn't, you know, that was our first taste of recording on at a, you know, a professional level.
Yeah.
Sounds
Like,
like
well, I got
Sean's
some
doing
silly
great.
questions, just a couple, like to wrap
Yeah.
it up if you want.
I'm all about silly questions. I'm a
Oh,
ridiculous person.
I had one. It's like a Central Illinois question. So, do you prefer Avanti's or La Gondola?
Oh, damn. Oh, you're one of these. Okay.
Oh.
I've got to say Avani's, but even then, I'm not as much of a fan as I was when I was like a kid, you
Oh,
know.
yeah.
But yeah, I gotta go with Avani's if you got a gun to my head.
Okay, because like I had heard of La Gondola and you know, drove by it so many times, like, because what there's one in like Crevecoeur or whatever. So going through
Yeah,
Crevecoeur
yep.
and all that stuff, I just never ate there. But then now, the last year, I've been living in Morton and I swear, probably once a month, I've had La Gondola and I love it. Like, their bread's like even better than Avanti's.
So you like it better than Avani's?
Yeah, I would
Oh
say like I
man.
grew up with Avani's because it was in East Peoria and I grew up in East Peoria, but yeah, now I'm like I've switched sides like over to La Gondola.
Oh dude, so I was living in Bloomington for a little while, finishing up going to school, and I've heard that the La Gondola in Bloomington is like the best.
Oh, wow.
So if you're into that, and if you're ever out that way,
Yeah.
you definitely should check it out.
Okay, yeah, like I feel like I've crossed over to the dark side now.
I mean, both are probably the dark side.
Yeah. And here's something too. So the first time I ever heard of Revis was early in 2003, and you guys were on the Daredevil soundtrack, and it had like some of the bands that we mentioned from that Nintendo tour, Finger 11 and Evanescence. And there's like just a bunch of other stuff that I was like big into at the time. I think Chevelle had a song on there and Fuel. But where I was going with this is, so are you a fan of like Marvel? comic books and superheroes and stuff?
Oh yeah, for sure, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I grew up, collecting some comic books. It's, I haven't had a whole lot of time to devote to following that stuff
Yeah.
anymore, but yeah, for sure. Oh yeah. I don't remember like what characters reside in what universes, like
Yeah.
DC versus Marvel versus
Yeah.
whatever's out there. But yeah, de definitely a fan of that stuff. Daredevil was one of my favorite
Yeah.
comic book heroes too, for sure.
Oh, cool. So then was it kind of like a thrill then to be kind of involved with that then going back to.
Yeah, it was cool to be on the soundtrack. We didn't really know it was just happened. Epic put it out, and so they were just taking, like some of their bands that they wanted to kind of push out there. Maybe they had a couple slots, like, okay, we're just gonna throw these freshman bands out there,
Yeah.
and they just kind of threw us on there, and we were like, oh, that's, I think, most of us are pretty big comic book fans. Justin, the singer, is a really talented visual artist, I guess.
Oh, cool.
And he does some amazing artwork as far as like comic book drawings goes. And he was inking, I think he was inking for, I mean, I want to say, is Dark Horse one of them or DC or something?
Yeah,
I
yeah,
know that
Dark
DC
Horse.
is,
Yeah.
Dark Horse might be one of them. There was a friend of those guys that grew up in Southern Illinois, Joe Dodd, ended up becoming a professional comic book artist.
Yeah.
And we used to party with him a bunch too. Amazing, amazing artist. But he and Holman would just be, geeking out over that stuff. So
Oh.
whenever we got on there, it was like, oh my gosh, this is really cool.
Oh, awesome, man. I wasn't aware of that kind of background in art.
Oh, the dude is tremendous,
Yeah.
as a visual artist. The man has the soul of an artist.
Oh. So I guess I can't really ask you if you're Marvel or like DC then, because you said it kind of ran
Oh yeah,
together for
whichever,
you.
I don't know. So like I
Yeah.
really like Wolverine. Yeah, of course a lot of people do.
Yeah. X-Men.
Yeah, X-Men. Yeah, is that, which one is that? Is that Marvel?
Is Marvel, yeah.
It is Marvel? Okay, sweet. Yeah, then I guess I'm a Marvel guy.
If you could only choose one, what movie would you choose if you could only watch one movie the rest of your life?
Oh my gosh, that's a really good question. Good Burger.
Oh wow. Good burger.
I love that movie, man. I've exposed my kids to it too, and they are so sick of it. And they came out with a Good Burger 2
Yeah.
recently. Dude, yeah, it's such a good. I don't think it's as good as the original. I don't think it would take a lot to trump that,
Yeah.
But it's still pretty good, and it's in its own right. There's so many good movies out there, man. It seems like entertainment is just ridiculously effective now. Like the newest, the Willy Wonka that came out with Timothy Chalamet as the main dude. We just watched it last night, and at least part of it, and I was like, oh my God, like this is an incredible movie. The quality of it, like the storytelling, the visual aspect of it, the music, the talent, the editing and stuff, the way the story flows. I feel like they've just gotten so good at it. Maybe they've like, they map the human genome and they figure out certain genes do what things. Maybe they've like mapped the human entertainment receptors in your brain, and they're just some big AI robot somewhere, and you just plug in some ideas and boom, here's the script. Do this and you'll get, a boatload of money.
Oh, maybe we're all just living in the Matrix now.
Maybe. Well, one of my kids actually ran up the wall the other day. So
What?
that would explain that.
How'd that ran up the wall?
I think it may have involved, I think they may have just gotten a couple steps up and they were running from one of their siblings and
Oh,
did those
okay.
things. They like tried to do the flipping around, but they just landed on the back of their head and started screaming.
Oh, like parkour
Yeah, like
kind
parkour,
of deal.
yeah.
It's funny too when you mentioned Good Burger, because that had Keenan and Kel in it. And it's great. Like, I haven't kept up with Saturday Night Live. Like, I've kind of checked in and out over the years. But Keenan, he is still on there. He's been on there for like
Is he?
20 years. Yeah. So that's crazy.
That dude's hilarious.
Yeah. So, yeah, you probably go back to like the what is Nickelodeon, all that and stuff.
Yeah, so all that was kind of like as I was that's that was like the tail end kind of maybe like a, like my generation maybe, I don't know. I don't want to like, you know, put the tag on something.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh.
My daughter just came in.
She heard you talking about Good Burger.
Yeah. Oh yeah, she's a big fan. Okay. So yeah,
Yeah.
she's probably the biggest Good Burger fan in the house. Whenever we have like movie night and people are asking what to watch, what to watch. I'm
Good
like,
Burger too.
yeah, Good Burger too.
Yeah.
There you
Not
go. Andy, I really want to thank you for this opportunity, man. I consider
Oh,
it
sure. Yeah.
a privilege and an absolute pleasure, man. I cannot thank you enough. It's I whenever you asked me, man, I was like, oh my gosh, like what a gracious gesture and what a wonderful opportunity, man. I really appreciate it. And I've listened to a few of the podcasts, man, and
Oh,
you've done
really?
a
Oh, cool.
fantastic job. Yeah. The one I picked by random, I was like, oh, that guy's name looks familiar. It was Rich Bedeau, the
Oh,
drummer
yeah,
for
Finger 11.
Oh, that's where I know that name from. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so man, yeah, keep it going, man. I think you're doing the right thing, young man.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, and I'll definitely see you on June 1st. So,
Oh, awesome, man. Please, yeah, come up to us,
yeah.
man. We'll hang out. We'll party like old dudes.
All right, man. Well, it was good to finally see you face to face. I'd heard your name over the years, but I don't think I ever met you.
Yeah, it's good to see you too, man.
So,
Like likewise, you know.
well, thank you, Bob. This was awesome to talk to you, man. I hope the Revis shows are a success too.
Oh, thanks, man.
So, well, good night, man.